Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Andrew Klinger joins us. He's the Chief Financial Officer for the Nevada System of Higher Education, has a lot to say about what happened in the past and currently with budgets on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Andrew Klinger. He is the Chief Financial Officer for the Nevada System of Higher Education. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Good morning, Sam.
We first had you on the program when you were budget director under Governor Jim Gibbons. You were also city manager for the city of Reno. So you have vast experience with money, crises. Take us back, will you, to what was happening during the Gibbons administration with budget crises then and how the state dealt with it.
So, right after the legislative session, I think in 2007, we started seeing signs of, just a slowdown. And it came a lot faster than we thought it would. And so you immediately start scrambling and you look at things that you can cut immediately, because there are things that, that they call one-time appropriations and that sort of thing that you can immediately get to and start reducing those. And then you got to start looking more from a long-term standpoint of, okay, if the revenues are going to continue to decline, then you got to start going into the agency budgets and making deeper cuts. In the state of Nevada, nothing is funded very well, honestly, and so all of those cuts are very painful.
What was the biggest area of concern? Was it Health and Human Services, Medicaid, that kind of budgeting?
Yeah, when you look at the state budget and you look at, Medicaid and K-12 in particular, I mean, those two are not just Medicaid, but Health and Human Services, I guess. If you look at Health and Human Services and K-12, they are 70% of the state budget. And so you're either talking about, reductions to K-12 in the classroom, or you're talking about, services to the less fortunate, whether it's Medicaid or family services, that sort of thing. So those are really hard cuts to make. And I remember talking to the DHHS director at the time as we're cutting Medicaid, and asked him, is there anything else we can do? And he says, well, yeah, we can cut more out of Medicaid over here. And I said, well, what happens? He says, well, we'll have to take people off of dialysis, sort of thing. So it's there are very difficult decisions to make through that process.
Yeah, serious consequences. And one of the common themes that are thrown out there are, if we want to cut government spending, we have to look at waste and fraud. But really, it's a pretty tiny percentage of the actual state budget, if it exists at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's, in any large organization, you're going to have some inefficiencies. And I'm sure there are some inefficiencies in state government, but not to the extent that, you know, you're looking at now. I mean, the legislature passed basically a $4.6 billion budget, and, you know, there's $600 million below that. There's definitely not $600 million worth of fraud or efficiency in state government. And again, when you're looking at K-12 and Medicaid, you know, those are hard areas to cut.
I remember talking with Governor Miller and Scott Craigie about the budget cuts during their time in office as Governor and Chief of Staff, and the Health and Human Services ones were the hardest ones for them to swallow as well.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I can remember, you know, sitting in the you know, Assembly Chamber testifying on adult diapers back in the Jim Gibbons days. I mean, it's there are no easy choices to make. Because again, as a state, we don't, you know, there's no extras in there that are easy to cut.
And you know, part of it is, you know, what is attractive about Nevada to companies coming in is our low tax environment. But it's at times like this where there isn't a bunch of money stashed away. But then again, as you look at the 50 states, there's no money stashed away.
No, you know, you look across the states and those rainy day funds, you know, they get used pretty fast. And, you know, $400 million seems like a lot, but when you're $600 million short, you know, year over year, you know, you can use $400 million up pretty quickly. And, you know, and you have to balance that. You don't want to leave too much money sitting there because it is taxpayers' money. So you can only have so much in your rainy day fund. And it's really there to help you get through the crisis immediately, and then you have to start doing the long-term planning.
And Governor Gwynn saw an example of where you have too much money in his time in office, where he had raised taxes to cover shortfalls, ended up with an excessive amount of money, and therefore decided to rebate that money back to the public through the DMV. And he said to me many, many times that he couldn't believe how many people came up to him and said, "Thank you, Governor, for that $300. That really made a difference in my life," which, you know, is actually a stunning number, really, when you consider for a lot of people that's not a huge number, but for an even greater amount of people, that's a huge number.
Yeah, and I remember I worked for Kenny Wynn when we did that. And like you said, we had just passed a tax package in 2003. We came back in 2005. And, you know, there was excess money, and there were obviously a lot of needs in the state then, but Governor Gwynn at the time was adamant that he was going to give some of that money back to the constituents.
How much do you think that Nevada is, even though they can't put it into the budget right now, because they have to go with the Economic Forum numbers, but how much do you think Nevada is relying on the fact, well, it's not a fact, but the possibility that the Biden administration will be able to come up with a rescue plan that Congress will pass to help the states?
You know, that's difficult to say. You know, they just passed the Corona Relief Aid package, and there is funding in there for both, you know, K-12 as well as higher education. So I'm sure, you know, some of that is going to help offset the cuts that the state has to make. But there's also maintenance of effort requirements in there, meaning that the state has to maintain a certain level of state funding for both K-12 and higher education as well. So while they provide the aid, they say you can't, you know, cut the state resources back beyond a certain level. But I do think that will provide some relief. And then the relief that was provided in the CARES Act, in particular on the Medicaid side, you know, there's some additional federal dollars that were provided as part of that package that I think will help the state out. But again, you're talking about, you know, over the biennium at least, over $1 billion short compared to what they were last biennium. So, I mean, it's significant no matter what, but those little pieces will help.
You know, it's unlike the federal government, we do not have the ability to just, you know, borrow that money.
No, and even, you know, under Governor Gibbons, you know, we had to get creative when we balanced the budget. I remember we had, at the time, $160 million line of credit built into the budget to help balance. Now, we never drew on that line of credit, but, you know, the challenge with doing something like that is as you recover, that's the first thing you have to fill back in. So to the extent that you can avoid doing those things, you're going to be better off in the long run. But you know, the state's in a very difficult position over the next couple of years.
Over the next couple of years, yeah, through the biennium. And is that a no matter what? Because, you know, depending on which analyst you read, gaming is coming back later in 2021, the second half of 2021. You know, Union Gaming reporting just yesterday that they're anticipating that the gaming industry will be coming back strongly. But others are saying 23, 24 before we see a recovery. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I know when the Economic Forum looked at it, I think the consensus there among legislative staff and governor's staff is there that looking at 2023, which makes sense. And you know, the state has to be conservative as they prepare these forecasts because they don't want to make cuts again. So 2023, I think conservatively probably makes a lot of sense when you're looking at the forecast. And if it comes in better, they can always put it in the rainy day fund.
It's kind of stunning, though, to look at something and look that far out. I mean, Jan Jones was on the program a year ago saying, you know, that she thought it was going to be a three-year deal before gaming came back. That's astonishing.
Yeah, and what it boils down to is when are visitors going to be comfortable traveling again and coming to Vegas and coming to the state, because that's really what drives, you know, the sales tax and gaming tax, obviously, are those visitors coming here. So how fast are they going to return? I mean, that's the real question. And when does that start?
Well, you know, and that's an interesting conversation. I mean, you can't put that into a budget. But if you look at the numbers, I mean, the pent-up demand for just getting the heck out of the house,
right,
let alone traveling, is stunning. And a lot of people who are looking at the gaming industry and travel and tourism, not so much business, but travel and tourism, are saying, hey, this is going to come back faster than you think. And can we look at what's happening with local casinos as an example of what the bigger picture could be once we see, you know, air travel increasing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because it's human nature, right? And we're all sick of being, on lockdown. And I've thought the same thing, that as things get better and as the vaccine rolls out and as there's more comfort, I agree. I think people are going to come back to Vegas probably faster than some think, because there is that pent up demand and there is that desire to get out and sort of blow off some steam that's been. Because 2020, let's face it, has been a tough year for everyone.
Oh, to say the least. One of the things that was interesting during the Gibbons administration was actually two things that I learned. One was right before the administration came in, there was discussion about how many billions of dollars in road maintenance was needed. And I talked to somebody about that number, because it was multiple billions of dollars. I think maybe $6 billion. And they said, even if we were to fund that $6 billion, we couldn't do that in reality because A, there's not enough construction workers, and B, every road, particularly in Las Vegas, would be tied up with cones. Nobody would be able to get around. So that's not realistic. At the same time, they looked at the Las Vegas Convention Authority and took money from the Convention Authority to go towards roads. There are lots of things that the Convention Authority funds beyond promoting Las Vegas. Is there money still left at the Convention Authority after their expansion to be able to contribute to where we are, or is that something that just isn't realistic right now?
That's a great question, and I haven't, it's not something I've looked at in a long time.
Nope, nobody I've read has looked at it. I just came up with that over the weekend.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I'm sure they would say, if you ask them, they would say absolutely not. And, and if we want Vegas to come back at a pace, that's going to help the broader economy. Maybe that's not something you look at, but no, I don't know. That's a great question. And that goes back to, you got to start being creative and looking everywhere you can for sort of dollars to balance the budget. And we've done it before, and I'm sure we'll do it again.
If one thing for sure, Nevada is very creative.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. More with Andrew Klinger when we come back.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Andrew Klinger. He's the Chief Financial Officer for the Nevada System of Higher Education, former Budget Director for Governor Jim Gibbons, and former City Manager for the City of Reno. Cities and counties are in maybe more hurt than the state.
Yeah, and they've been hurting for a while, and never, well, I would say the state never has really fully recovered from the Great Recession, but I would say cities and counties.
Oh, okay, why do you say that?
Probably even less.
Because, I mean, the state has, you know, to all appearances, has been booming.
No, I think the state has done great, but when you look at just the funding levels of K-12 and some of the health and human services pieces of the budget. I mean, certainly the funding has improved and they're better funded than they were in the past. But when you have when you look at it and you compare it to other states, we're still behind on funding and probably always will be. I think it's just the nature of the state and the tax environment that we live in. But cities and counties in particular have been hurting from the property tax cap. Because even when the state was growing, their property tax revenue, which local governments rely on pretty heavily, didn't come back. In fact, I think there was my last year at the city, I think the property tax grew at 0.6%, while the rest of the state was growing pretty rapidly. So it really puts a strain on local government budgets, and that's where you're talking about public safety primarily is what they do, police and fire. And so as the city of Reno, for example, grows, I don't think, their police department has not kept pace.
But then you look at California, where this all started with Howard Jarvis and Prop 13. They had a multi-billion dollar surplus, prior to COVID. So what was the difference between the way that California enacted the property tax cap versus Nevada?
I'm not exactly sure because I'm not real familiar with how they do theirs. One of the things that's been talked about in Nevada is, resetting the tax base on sale for a home, which we don't do. So as homes age, when you sell a house, if the value has grown, that tax doesn't keep up with an older home. Whereas if you go out and buy a new home, you're going to be paying a lot more in property taxes. And so I know it's something that's been talked about in particular among local government and has been you know, discuss with legislators, but to this point, there hasn't been an appetite to make any changes there.
I know, because, you know, I mean, just the split roll itself, the difference in the business taxes versus the personal property taxes is really not even constitutional. But who's going to say it's not constitutional and push that through, because then everybody's personal property taxes would go up. And,
yeah.
they'd be out of office.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think property taxes are probably the least popular tax. I mean, if you polled the citizen, I think that's probably the one they would like to see raised the least, actually. So, the chances of that happening. But if they don't do something in local government on the funding side, you know, they're going to continue to struggle.
So what options do they have?
They get a lot of their funding through the C tax, which is essentially sales tax. So I think the sales tax, and I know there's been discussion in the legislature in the past about a tax on services. I know that's not popular either. But I think if you looked at something like that, that definitely broadens the base of that tax and really can lower the rate. But it's just then you get into the fight over which services and then which services are exempted, and that becomes the battle. And I know that was talked about in previous sessions, but that's something I think that they could look at.
One of the problems that Nevada has had over the years, I talked to Senator Reid about this, was, and you alluded to it earlier, is that we don't put enough money into programs to be able to get the federal matches. So we've lost out on probably billions of dollars over the years.
No, that's true, and really where you see those dollars are in the Health and Human Services accounts. I think under the Sandoval administration, those numbers got better. Under Obamacare and the expansion of Medicaid there, those numbers got better. But historically, Nevada has not fared well. You know, every dollar we send to D.C., you know, we only get a fraction of that back. But I think those numbers have improved.
All right, let's take another break, and we'll be right back with Andrew Klinger after this.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino and win your share of $100,000 guaranteed. Now through February 27th, plus 5x points every Friday. $100,000 guaranteed at Tamarack Casino. Your good times are at Tamarack.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at Reno's newest steakhouse, Nevada Steak.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us. So she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Andrew Klinger. He's the Chief Financial Officer for the Nevada System of Higher Education. You mentioned K-12 as being a big chunk of the budget. One of the other billion-dollar babies in the budget is the system of higher education. What kind of discussions are going on at this point in time? Because, you know, we've been pushing so hard for UNLV and UNR to get increased funding. What's the conversations in the halls?
Yeah, I mean.
Or virtually.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're, you know, the system of higher education is about 15% of the budget. Like I said, K-12 and Health and Human Services probably make up 70%. We're 15, so that's 85% of your total budget right there. You know, what we've had to do as part of the governor's request for his budget, it, like other state agencies, we've cut 12%, which is about $85 million a year out of our $700 million a year that the state gives us. And, you know, and for us, I mean, our goals are, you know, student access, closing the achievement gap. And so it just, it makes those things more difficult as we reduce the state funding. Because that state funding really funds what we call the instructional portion of our budget. So it's the professors and the staff to deliver the services to the students.
When you say a 12% cut, is that a 12% cut over the previous biennium budget, or a 12% cut over what the system anticipated getting as an increase?
So it's a 12% cut of what we anticipated receiving in 22 and 23. So it's not a cut from where we're at today. And for us, for example, in our budget, we have $48 million in caseload growth because new students showing up. So that $48 million is a calculation of, okay, how many new students are going to show up in the system? And how are we going to serve them? Because, you know, the more students you have, the more class sections you have to offer, the more staff you need. And so that 12% reduction cuts into that, but certainly offset with federal funds to a certain extent.
All right, and that's where we have to leave it. Great having you back on the program. Please come back again during session so we can kind of keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next show.